another time. His life was green and good until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the Resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
That's right, folks, and I am honored to be with you today via telephone. We'll be back in studio tomorrow, myself and David Knight, co-hosting tomorrow. But I'm taking care of, again, a whole bunch of important investigations and preparations for this new year. We've now entered into a lot of big announcements coming here in just the next few weeks. We are live on this Sunday, January 4th, 2015, worldwide transmission, our second live broadcast of 2015. We were live Friday. Again, David Knight is in the studio, and you can see the free video feeds of the TV studio, the shoot, and all the video clips at Infowars.com/show. I am joining you via old tech, the telephone. There is so much to get into today. David Knight's going to have some special reports that he's going to break down live at the bottom of the hour. 2013 was the year that the surveillance state was masterminded. 2014 was the year the police state was masterminded and rolled out, I would add. Jury nullification, stingray spying systems now being mainstream news, the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, major global takeovers, global government, the mask is coming off. And now that our journey towards totalitarianism is now becoming complete, this broadcast is almost passe in ways because it was always riveting that we were trying to prove world government was real, even though we had all the documents and statements. The media would say that we were liars. Now it's, yes, world government's real. Yes, secret torture bases are real. Yes, FEMA camps are real. Yes, cancer viruses are in the vaccines, but so what? Now they're just throwing the gauntlet down our faces. And as they get ready to devalue the currency further, as the prosperity leaves, folks are going to find out why they wanted a tyranny in place to begin with. So the party is about to be over, ladies and gentlemen. As David Knight sent me in a text today, I said, what are you talking about on the show? And he said, the mask is coming off. And I said, that's exactly what I want to get into. So the mask is coming off of planetary world government. We're going to be breaking that down here on this live January 4th, 2015 global transmission. Tomorrow, Dr. Busby, one of the top nuclear engineers, chemical engineers in the world, who accurately broke down what was happening at Fukushima about a year before mainstream media was forced to admit it, he's going to be joining us because there's a Ukraine radiation leak. He has scientists in his circle that are there analyzing the real isotopes. That's the same place Chernobyl happened in 86 that increased radiation in the Northern Hemisphere massively. And then, of course, he'll give us the latest on Fukushima that's still melting down and burbling out plutonium and uranium, along with a string of deadly isotopes. And just the fact that why doesn't the establishment care now that a 440-something power-producing reactors, another 300 or so research reactors, another couple hundred sub-reactors that the Russians and the U.S. have, out of, I don't know, it's got to be over 1,000 reactors total. Why are there so many accidents? Why don't they care now? Why is there this nihilistic attitude about everything, about tyranny, about you name it? And it's because the public has been put into an entertainment trance. And I want to talk about the trance and how they're controlling us coming up the next segment. Then David will get into the major global government and some of its future plans. And now that we've seen the police state, the surveillance grid, masterminded decades ago, but rolled out really in 2013 and 2014, what's going to be rolled out in 2015 as the mask comes off? And then in the second hour, David will open the phones. We will open the phones specifically, but he's in control there at the studio, specifically for what you think the next mask to come off will be. The surveillance grid, the police state, is it a bigger war? Who knows? It's all coming up today on this live transmission. Tell your friends and family to tune in right now.
Last night, on my orders, America's armed forces began strikes against ISIL targets in Syria.
America! 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 Yeah! Come at it again to save the mother...
people we are fighting today, we funded.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
ISIS has grabbed up from the U.S., from the Saudis, from the Qataris, weapons by the truckload. And we are now forced to fight against our own weapons, and this body wants to throw more weapons into the mix.
Freedom is the only way, yeah, terrorist, your keys through.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this January 4th, 2015. Live Sunday worldwide broadcast. I'm Alex Jones on the road doing an investigative report that we're going to be filing later in the week. David Knight will be riding shotgun there from the Infowars.com news studios deep in the heart of Texas, Austin. He will be with us co-hosting for the 2 hours today. I'm going to give David the floor to break down an investigation he's been doing at the bottom of the hour. Dealing with the surveillance state mask came off in 2013 and all the NSA spying, the social conditioning, the brainwashing, the fake media, that pretty much got thrown in our face in 2013 by the social engineers worldwide. In 2014, the police state got unmasked and came out in the open. And, of course, the UN is the savior that will come and save us from all this, we're now told by CNN and others. So why are the masks being purposely ripped away right now? Well, sure, public pressure is part of it, but it's larger than that. There's been big NSA whistleblowers, larger than Edward Snowden, like William Binney and others. They didn't get a lot of attention. Why has the system decided now to go ahead and reveal all this? Well, I've been told by a lot of high-level sources on and off record, major generals, people like Dr. Steve Pachinik, that the system knows they can't hide this anymore. So they're attempting to simply throw it all in our face. David Knight's going to be breaking that down in detail coming up at the bottom of the hour. Then in the second hour today, we will be taking your phone calls about what is the next big shoot-a-drop in your view in 2015. It could be a positive shoot-a-drop. It doesn't just have to be the establishment rolling out some new global war or some new terror group they financed and turned loose. No, it could be we saw a major political realignment. The Tea Party taking over a lot of seats in the House and Senate. The Republican leadership, though, via seniority, like royalty, getting those positions and not ending Obamacare, not even trying to repeal it, not even trying to reform it, not stopping the amnesty at open borders, not stopping executive gun grabbing, gun control, not stopping Obama becoming a dictator. David Knight's going to be looking at that in great detail as well. Again, I'm your host, Alex Jones. Before I get into what the end-game goal is first before getting into all the latest news, I want to discuss something with the listeners out there. I hope listeners realize, and I know you do, but especially for new listeners, this broadcast 20 years ago on air, on Access TV 20 years ago, starting in radio 19 years ago, was so bizarre to people that it sounded like Martian. People looked at me like I had seven heads. Now, almost everyone that I talk to agrees with much of what we say. They admit global government run by private corporations is real. They admit we're losing our basic freedoms. But they say, so what? What are you going to do about it? So it's the best of times, worst of times, as I always say, quoting one of the most famous literary minds out there ever, Charles Dickens. Sure, we've won the war. People know the Federal Reserve is a scam in private and owned by foreign families. And the British royalty. Sure, people know that a lot of the vaccines have been spiked with chemicals to reduce fertility and give you cancer. That's even mainstream news. Sure, people know that, I mean, people don't trust the system. Gallup had a poll out. Again, 7% approval for Congress. People are most worried about government in America. So we've won that war with the occupational government. People know Washington's occupied. They know London's occupied. They know Paris is occupied. Berlin is occupied by these robber barons. They know that Sydney is occupied. They understand this is going on. They understand Mexico City's occupied. But then how do we go to the next level of getting people to realize we have power and can change it? Because again, half the battle is letting people know there is an enemy and there is an agenda. The other half is, once you've shown people, it's not meant to demoralize folks. I mean, I've had congressmen on and off record, generals and movie stars tell me, yeah, I used to think you were crazy. Now it all makes sense. I was compartmentalized the whole time. It's all true. I'm just giving up. It's all no. That's see. I've become more sophisticated doing this 20 years. I was just trying to warn people. I didn't know it was scaring the hell out of everybody. And then when it all came true, basically, because it was already there, but new chapters came true, people then were like, whoa, oh my gosh, we're doomed. No. A secret conspiracy can only operate if it's secret. Now the Federal Reserve is private. Now people know it's private, 101 years old. Now we can set about repealing it. And I've said this many times. Ron Paul had one co-sponsor 16, 17 years ago. It passed the House a few years ago and almost passed the Senate. It passed the House again last year. We're getting close, folks. That's why they're going to pull false flags, try to get a civil war going, try to get us fighting with local police who are not the problem. That's why they're going to try to get race riots going, because this is what globalists do throughout history. This is what colonial powers do to destabilize areas they're in control of. And now nation states once became empires and colonized areas with brute force. Now we're being colonized by mega corporations that are anti-free market, anti-competition. So that's why all this is happening. And the average brainwave has lowered. TV's been connected to neurological disorders, screen time with children. Again, all of this is mainstream news. We told you 15 years ago. That's why, even though people know bad stuff's happening, they're responding to it like spectators or like legless, armless creatures that can't fight back, because no one's ever been taught how to be politically involved, how to know how things work. The globalists were stalling us while they took over all the institutions, the water districts, the energy districts, the courts. Now that they've taken over much of it, they're throwing it in our face, because here's the deal. They intend in their own UN documents, Agenda 21, Cloward and Piven, the list goes on and on, to end the prosperity, to socially control us. That's why they need a physical tyranny in place and a surveillance tyranny in place, because now the other shoe is about to drop, and that's going to be austerity, that's going to be depression, that's going to be major control, that's going to be a gulag-style economy in their own words. So that's the next shoe to drop. I don't know if it's going to be this next year. We're already seeing the incrementalism of it, but it's very serious. So I'm begging all of you, realize that you are the resistance, you have the power, and people are never waking up like they are today. But don't take that for granted. Now people are ready to hear the truth. Tell them about InfoWars.com, about PrisonPlanet.com, about the free iPhone app, Android apps at InfoWars.com in the Listen tab. Tell folks about the free podcast. Tell them about all of our local AM and FM affiliates, and tell them to tune in at the grocery store and church, at work, at the red lights, because we're gaining new affiliates every week. We're almost 180 affiliates weekdays. The Sunday show, over 100 now, by the grace of God. We are so blessed to have this platform to talk to millions every day. If we leverage that to the next level, we could change the world. David Knight, we're about to go to break. Tell us more of what's coming up today.
Well, Alex, as you mentioned earlier in the show, 2013 was really a mainstreaming, a reveal of the surveillance state. We saw that with the Snowden documents. In this last year, we've really had a mainstreaming of the militarized police state. It's no longer a conspiracy theory. We've seen it happen. And there's a convergence of those two in the Stingray program, and we can see in that how a corporate non-disclosure agreement takes precedent for the FBI over even their oath to the Constitution.
That's right. David Knight's riding shotgun. I'm via phone. I'm Alex Jones. InfoWars.com. Stay with us. We're live.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Alex Jones here, back live via telephone. David Knight in the InfoWars.com news studios with the video feeds for everybody as well at InfoWars.com/show. Everybody can find the TV feed and also the free audio feeds. Now, again, David's coming up with some special reports dealing with the next shoe to drop, the next mask to come off. But I wanted to continue just discussing what's happening culturally. As we become a society from birth to death that watches television or has about 10, 15 hours of screen time a day, it's grown from 2 hours back in the 50s to 4 hours in the 80s to more than 6 hours for the average person in 2014. We don't have numbers yet on 2015. Some young people have as many as 18 hours a day in their off time and as much as 10 hours a day when they're out of school, playing video games, watching television. This is retarding brain development. This is, you can just search screen time brain damaging toddlers. Doctors, don't give your children iPads. Steve Jobs wouldn't let his kids have iPads before he died. He said, are you kidding? Is that a joke? The system knows what they're doing. And I'm not judging anybody, okay? This stuff is hard to keep away from your kids. It's great to go on a road trip and, you know, throw it in the back seat to them. I've done it myself. But you've got to absolutely limit it or keep it away, or it will take your life over. And it is brain damaging the public, where you've got a bunch of spectators who cannot take action, who cannot get involved, who cannot respond, who are not living their own lives, but are being programmed by limited social engineering messages that are coming through the mainstream media and that also still dominate the internet. Because, yes, the new media has destroyed the old dinosaur media, but most propaganda is now fed through sitcoms, dramas, entertainment, movies, cartoons. Look at these headlines on Infowars.com. This headline's out of the London Telegraph. UK government crafts anti-terror plan to spy on toddlers. Nursery staff and schoolmasters given duty to report toddlers they suspect of becoming terrorists. Now, this is not new. It's just being expanded. In a film I made 8 years ago called Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, it sold about 200,000 DVDs on the open market. It was a hit, had about 15 million views online for free. You can watch it on free today at YouTube. Endgame, we show the BBC articles where they say that they are surveilling babies in the womb for signs of terrorism. This is beyond thought crime. This is genetic crime. And now the state of Washington is now doing the same pre-crime, thought crime, terror crime on babies. Now, if people hear me talk about this, they think, that Alex Jones, he's wacky. No, I'm reading to you out of the London Telegraph today. We have three paragraphs snipped to save it and prove it at Infowars.com with a full link to the full article in one of the biggest newspapers in the United Kingdom. So this is happening. Our own government with NATO funds and protects al-Qaeda, calls them ISIS, turns them loose 4 years ago to attack Syria, and now we've got to give our rights up because they're set to attack us again, our government's telling us. That's why we had that intro at the start of the show, reminding everybody that just a year ago, it was in the news that our own government was funding al-Qaeda. Now they changed the name to ISIS to confuse us. This is the overwhelming nature of things. The reason they need us to be spectators is very simple. If you believe you have any power, they can win. If you don't believe you have power, what I'm getting at here is, if you know that you have power, they can't win. But if they can convince you that you don't have any power and that you can't affect change, you have absolutely no way to ever resist. Think about how much of this stuff is now completely out in the open. And it's being done because they've conditioned us to be spectators. They've used high-level psychological warfare systems to roll this out against the people. I talked about this for over 15 years. I was allowed in on several occasions to the University of Texas psychology department 15 years ago, making a film with another filmmaker who was just using the psychology department as a backdrop and got an authorization by some high-level people to let us into it who were secretly listeners. And that is a cover, making that film. We were able to see some of the stuff that was going on, okay? And again, this is on record, this is happening now, but you're not allowed to ever see it because of the images. Just like human cloning's been going on at the embryonic level for more than 30 years, it's just not shown to the public, though it's admitted in dry research papers. I was allowed to see the monkeys by the hundreds strapped down with wires in their brains, testing flicker rates on televisions to put them in a suggestible state for DARPA via the University of Texas. This was going on all over the country, not just at UT. I was allowed to see DARPA programs that were restricted, not classified, to retina scan you at a distance when you're in a major store to track what you're going to buy and your eye movement of what you're reading on the packages with hidden eye scanners. Now, just this month, they announced Pizza Hut and others have eye scanners that will track you when you're reading the menu and tell you what you wanted to order before you order it. Amazon is announcing they will package and ship your package before you order it. They know what you're going to order. That's AP. We are Buck Rogers 2015. These computers now tracking us can basically read our minds. These computers can see over the horizon of mass movements and basically predict the future. So what I'm telling you folks is, you're living in an epic Buck Rogers dystopia. We can change this if people admit the master plan that's being carried out. The founder of Google, Nico Acosta, one of our great producers, 2 months ago ran in and said, it's true what you just said about Google being a AI program of DARPA. Here's the founder of Google 14 years ago saying that was their plan. Well, of course. I'm not just saying this is what I'm saying. Okay, do you understand? DARPA and NASA run Google. They run Microsoft. They run it all. It's already artificially intelligent, folks. It's already able to predict the future in almost every case. Now they're creating the Internet of Things with smart dust in everything to track the real world, and they're building a world not to empower humans in the end, but to make us obsolete and bring in a planetary regime. That's why I get hysterical. And not to scare you, but to rally you out of your coma, out of your trance, to break the trance. There's 7.5 billion of us. We can change the future. We can rally humanity and build a technological system to take us to the stars and empower us, not to enslave us and make us obsolete as the elite merge with the machines. This is the emergency message in 2015. This is the next shoe to drop. They're going to roll out all the AI, the brain chips, the retina chips. It's going to start with the contact lenses. You're going to see it all the next few years. It's not 20 years out. It's a year out. It's already here. This is what I'm telling you, folks. This is why I'm so desperate. Everything else we told you about, you notice now, is mainstream news. We're telling you now what's going to start coming out in the next few years, warning you that you'll lose your soul. Your children will lose their ability to make their own decisions in life. You will lose your free will. This system is the end of humanity as we know it. Not because technology is bad, but because the engineers, the master builders, the social architects are eugenicists following a 166-year-old plan developed by the royal family of England.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
It's the time of the season.
All right, folks. I was busy rambling and didn't hear the music, so ran over. I'm going to finish up. Alex Jones here. And hand the baton to David Knight. I'll be back co-hosting with him tomorrow. He's going to be with me 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and I'll be hosting by myself throughout all of next week with the weekday broadcast, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Carried on many of these same stations. Look, all I'm getting at is I've read, no exaggeration, over 100 books written by the globalists themselves, thousands of white papers. It's all on record. We've cited them. I've made films. Planetary government has been pushed for since the time of the Egyptians and then the Romans and others, and the time of Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan. Everybody knows about that. But the British royal family funded under Francis Galton in the 1850s, 1855 when the plan was officially launched, to bring in a planetary world government that broke up the family as we knew it, micromanaged every facet of society, used weaponized sports to distract the public, drugging of the water supply, that they would seek out and discover how genetics worked. Biometrics was invented by him in 1860. and no doubt these people are visionaries, but they're very anti-human, and they've never been able to get their plan fully in place. It's taken them a long time to develop these systems, but with the things they developed, they were able to dominate the globe to a great extent. Now they want full control They're going to use computers to do that. And yes, there are parallels to the Bible, Mark of the Beast, you name it. What, if you don't believe in that, that's your issue. The point is, it's manifesting in a very dark, anti-human way, just like the Bible says. And the problem is the churches are state-run now, most of them, telling you that you're going to be raptured out of it. When that's not even in the Bible, folks. The rapture comes after the tribulation. But regardless, don't you as a Christian have a responsibility to stand up against this evil and warn others now? Not just have the cop out of, praise God, it's getting bad. I'm going to get teleported up there by Scotty up to the deck of the Enterprise, you know, up there to meet St. Michael at the pearly gates there in the transporter room. No, ladies and gentlemen, we're living on a planet in deep space. This stuff's going on. Our own species is engaged in predator activities against us. And all I'm trying to warn you and tell you is there's still enough freedom where this information can get out. Please don't take this for granted. Look into the claims we've made. Look into the facts we're saying. Find out how real this is. Realize you're being manipulated. You're being conditioned. Now, folks know that. They know there's propaganda. They know they're being lied to. But find out, you know, something's stinking under the boards of the basement. Pull up the boards, you're going to find the dead bodies buried there. Okay, I've been under the boards, they're there. The people running things are bad news. But 99% of people in corporations or even government are compartmentalized. The whole system's built on that. They don't know what they're doing. We're here to decompartmentalize. And so just grasp that and get others to grasp it. Do you want to be your own man or woman? Do you want to know how the world really works? Do you want to be free? Do you want to have free will? Do you not want, as MIT reported 2 weeks ago, to have by 2025, half of newborns or half of children will have autism? That's MIT 2 weeks ago. Do you really want to be conditioned? Do you really want to be poisoned? Do you really want to have your free will taken? Do you really want to be soft-killed with binary weapons? Okay, so just know you've been warned. This is going on. I'm honored to be your host. I'm honored to be here 6 days a week. I'm honored to have folks like David Knight, who sits in maybe a day a week or so, does a fabulous job. I'm honored to have him host the nightly news with our other reporters and myself, 7 o'clock weeknights at PrisonPlanet.tv. I don't claim to have all the answers. I don't claim to be the best deliverer of information. All I know is I'm not a slave. I'm awake. I've got a soul. And I'm honored to be able to talk to all of you who I know have souls as well. And I'm honored to have a great crew of wonderful people up there like CJ and John and Nico and Wes and all of our affiliates and our sponsors and the listeners and of course, the good Lord above. All right, I'm handing the baton to David Knight. David Knight, you take over and break down. The mask is coming off on the New World Order. What's behind it? David Knight.
Yes, Alex, as you were saying earlier, one of the worst things that can happen, as we see in 2013, they start revealing, mainstreaming the news about the surveillance state. Yes, it's not a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory that the government is watching you in as many ways as they can imagine, in more ways probably than you can imagine. No, we don't need tinfoil hats, and we don't need tinfoil hats to say that the police state is rising, that it's equipping ourselves. And, of course, when we revealed the massive purchases from Homeland Security back in 2012, there was a lot of pushback from the mainstream media, from the government, on those purchase orders. Yet we linked to those purchase orders. Now so much stuff has happened in the last 2 years. It's coming more and more. There's getting to be larger and larger reveals of what they're doing. We can see that it is no longer people, it's no longer us who are paranoid. We're not paranoid conspiracy theorists. What we have is a paranoid government that is criminally conspiring to violate our rights, to violate the law, and to do who knows what. We can speculate. We certainly understand where they're going to go with this. We believe we've got that story as well for you. It remains to be seen what they're going to do, but the worst thing that can happen is that we can be afraid of what we see, that we can censor ourselves, that we can bow down and accept this in some kind of a Stockholm syndrome acceptance. And there's a story that came out today that I think illustrates that really well, out of Florida, out of Okeechobee, Florida. This is a situation where a man called the sheriff's office to come watch him spank his child because he was afraid he might get arrested for child abuse. Perhaps he was afraid the child was going to go to school and tell somebody that his daddy spanked him. We've seen that happen in many places. Yet in Florida, it is legal for parents to use corporal punishment on their children as long as they don't harm them. Now, this is a situation, this is reported from the Free State Project, also from a local affiliate there in Okeechobee. They talked to an undersheriff, Noel Stephen. He says he's personally supervised about 12 spankings. Just that guy alone, the undersheriff. Maybe we ought to call him the underwear sheriff. I don't know. He says it's definitely not something we advertise we do. Even though law enforcement has been willing to help out in this situation, watching a parent discipline their child is something that's done only when a deputy has no other calls to handle. This, to me, this story is one of the worst examples of where we can go with this. This is the end game if we fall down in fear of the state, if we don't stand up to it. This is really the destruction of the family. It's the destruction of the family as an independent, separate, and in many ways, not just equal to the government, but superior to the government in many ways. The loss of the idea that our home is our castle. Now, clearly, if somebody is doing something abusive to their children, to their wife, it's no longer a family. At that point, some other organization needs to come in and intervene. But I'm talking about a family that is working where they haven't done anything wrong. The presumption is now that they are guilty. And many people have been cowed into fear about this. When we look at what's happened this last year with the revelation of the police state, and I think that was the biggest story. Certainly, we had other stories. We had stories of our government enlarging the wars, trying to pull up the Cold War yet again, and effectively doing that, getting away with that. We've had a lot of the free press pushing back against that narrative that's been sold to us by the government, by the mainstream media. We've pointed out how our government has been fostering this kind of unrest in Ukraine and elsewhere, trying to revive the Cold War, and they've been successful in doing that. Now Russia is arming itself in response to what our government has done on their doorstep. But we had success in 2013, pointing out the lies that were being fed to us by the government and the mainstream media in Syria. We stepped down that particular operation at that time. Of course, they continued to fund ISIS and then put them into Iraq, and now that situation is starting to implode. It's still an issue of education. And if you look at where the police state revelations began this year, I think it was even before Bundy Ranch, people were starting to talk about SWAT teams and how it had exploded in terms of its use, in terms of the way that they come after people. That was part of the narrative. That and the Section 1023 program, where they're giving these massive MRAPs to local police departments. People were already talking about that. And we're going to talk about what happened at the Bundy Ranch, because that was not against the police. That was against a federal bureaucracy. Or as I like to point out, a feral bureaucracy, a bureaucracy that has gone wild. Stay with us. We're going to talk about that and take your calls when we come back.
We are on the march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, January the 4th, 2015. I'm going to be your host for the rest of the show, and I'm going to take your calls in just a few minutes. We've been talking about the reveals, the mask coming off. And I guess 2013, the mask came off of the surveillance state. I guess we could say in 2014, the gloves came off on the police state. I think those are the two big trends that we see. And there's something where they both come together. And that is the Stingray program. And we've reported on that a lot as well. And now we have a story that just broke this last week. Two senators who are demanding, one Republican, one Democrat. We've got Charles Grassley, and we have the Democrat is Patrick Leahy. They're demanding answers from the feds on cell phone tracking. This is a secret program that is a non-disclosure agreement that local police stations sign with Harris Corporation, the people who create this electronic device. And the FBI maintains that that non-disclosure agreement is more important than any court orders, more important than any trials. It's more important than the Constitution. They want the local police departments to let them know, notify them in writing. Whenever they have a FOIA request or a court request, notify them in writing so they can do something about it, and also by phone. And what they have done about this in the past is they have come to the locations where people have had a Freedom of Information request, and they have confiscated the records before they could be turned over. That is the kind of corporate alliance with the bureaucracy that we really have to fear. The mask has come off. The gloves have come off. We're going to see more of that this year with these trade agreements that the Republicans have dropped hints that they're going to push. That is also something that our elected representatives are not allowed to see, that we can't get FOIA requests on, that we can't have any transparency or sunlight shown on. Those trade agreements, one, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the other one, TAFTA, a Transatlantic Partnership, those are mechanisms, not of free trade. Those are mechanisms to enact internet control, to force GMO on countries, to force medical patents on countries. But more importantly, and the most important aspect of those, are the consolidation of government and the elevation of corporations to a parity with governments. I would even say to being in a superior position to those governments. That's where I think the major trend is going to go. But before we get into the trend that happened this year in terms of the police state, they always do these reveals at the last minute. They'll always do a document dump or a data dump. And of course, we had the NSA on Christmas Eve release 10 years, they said, of oops on the spying on American citizens, pretending that these were just minor oversights. They had only really one incident that they didn't redact, which was somebody spying on their spouse using the NSA software. They did that on Christmas Eve because they didn't want to draw any attention to it, and they didn't want to have the discussion as to why they have that power. You see, that was why we had four or five, I think it was five total, NSA whistleblowers in 2001 who left the NSA, because the NSA gave themselves the software. Internally, they had developed something called ThinThread that would have prevented the government from even conducting this kind of spying domestically. That was rejected in favor of a piece of software that was produced by a third party outside of the NSA called Trailblazer. That gave them the capability. And of course, if the government has the capability to spy on you, they will. We've known that over and over again. And we can't trust a document dump that's released on Christmas Eve to be comprehensive. Even though it's heavily redacted, there's a lot of stuff that's not even in that redacted document. Well, they did it again. Coming up to New Year's Eve, we see a document coming out where the federal government says that they lost $9.25 billion on auto rescue. They actually have now put a figure on it. And this is the final figure because they've now sold their stock, had 11.5% interest in a holding company called Ally. This was formerly known as GMAC. I think they ought to call that crony. But that was the holding company that they put these assets in. And of course, we not only lost $9 billion of taxpayer money in these automobile bailouts, but we also gave away Chrysler to the Italian company Fiat. Then there's another one that came out. U.S. debt soars by $100 billion on the last day of 2014, hits a record $18 trillion. This is up on Infowars.com this last weekend. And of course, they leave that until the last minute as well. They don't want you to know what the true deficit is, the fact that it soared $100 billion on the last day. Isn't that interesting? They say that under Obama, the U.S. debt has increased by 70%. It was $10.5 trillion when he took office in January of 2009. It is now over $18 trillion. Total U.S. debt has soared $98 billion, they say, in just one day, according to the federal government. And then finally, this last metric. Up on Infowars.com, $14 million an hour for the last 13 years. That's the cost of the war on terror. Now, 95% of that money went to projects related to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But think about that for a second. $14 million an hour and doing that for 13 years. That massive amount of money that we've spent. And it's not really the war on terror. It's not comprehensive because we've spent more money than that with Homeland Security and local law enforcement. But just those two wars, they have spent $14 million an hour for 13 years. And listen to this subline here. Only 1% of the funds have been directed towards medical care for veterans. Only 1% of that. You think they have your back? I don't think so. And I want to tell the police that they don't have your back either. The way this is going to work out, we can see these reveals getting larger and larger, coming more and more quickly because they're driven by technology. And of course, we've all seen throughout our lifetime, throughout the last several decades, how technology is accelerating, the change and the pace is accelerating. Let me tell the police officers out there that you are going to not be necessary for the future. You won't be necessary for the revenue generation, and you won't be able to use any kind of judgment to enforce the Constitution. If you don't take that opportunity now, you're going to lose it. One of the trends that has happened in this last year, of course, has been the rapid move towards automated cars. There's been a lot of quiet technological development that's been going on for several years. It was 7 years ago that Top Gear showed a car that could go around their racetrack, learning it once and then going around as fast as the car could drive, faster than a human could drive it. They've been working on these kinds of developments for a very long time. Last year, they rolled back legal restrictions that would keep Google and others from using self-driving cars on the highway. Now, why is that important? A lot of people would love to just get in their car and not have to drive. They could just sit there and play with Facebook and play with Twitter and just stare at their cell phone because that's what they want to do all the time anyway. So what's wrong with having it? A lot of people are going to celebrate the fact that they no longer have to drive their car. The problem with it is just like the government control of the internet. When the government controls transportation, that's one more domino that gives them total control over society. That is what is so dangerous about it. And we've already seen elements of this starting to be enacted. We see carrots as well as sticks are being put in. We see the sticks here in Austin. This week, beginning on January the 1st, of course, now Austin is joining many locations that are not going to allow you to talk on your cell phone or text on your cell phone, but they're going much further with their definition of distracted driving, talking about how you can't adjust the volume on your radio. Don't touch that dial. That's a $500 fine in Austin. Or maybe if they apply that definition of distracted driving to their ordinance. Now, they also define distracted driving as talking to somebody in your car. When they're able to do that and make that stick, when they're able to watch the speed at which you're driving using computer, when they're able to control where you go, when, as the Uber CEO said, private ownership of automobiles go away, they will have complete control of your movement. That is something to be feared. And that is something that they're coming at very quickly. But I want to say to the police, when we look at this show, the slowdown that happened in New York, there's an article that went up on The Atlantic, the benefits of fewer New York Police Department arrests. And they pointed out that the decline was a conscious slowdown by the New York police force to protest City Hall's perceived lack of support. There's this fight going back and forth between the mayor and the police unions and the police chief. They feel like he's stabbing them in the back. And what this reveals, and we're going to talk about this when we come back, what this reveals is really the true nature of the work that they're performing for the government. And clearly they know this. There was an expose 4 years ago by Adrian Schoolcraft, a police officer who really wanted to do legitimate police work and not just be a tax collector enforcer for City Hall. And he exposed the actions that were happening at that time, the quota system, what was going on. We're going to talk about that. We're going to take your calls when we come back. That number on Sunday is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-ALEX. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this January the 4th, 2015. I gave out the number at the last segment, and I would like for you to call in and really tell me what you're going to do this next year for your personal liberty. And as the way G. Edward Griffin put it, to act collectively for individual liberty. What can you do this next year? And as we were going to the break, I started to talk about what's going on in the New York Police Department. I think it's absolutely amazing the statistics that we get out of this work slowdown. And I want to come back to that, and I want to talk about a flyer that was put out on New Year's Eve with some demands. But before we do, there's an article that went up on InfoWars this weekend about a Sandy Hook victim who dies again in Pakistan. This is an amazing article. If you look at these pictures, it's still up on Infowars.com. Photo of a child killed at Sandy Hook shows up at the Pakistani school shooting. Now, that school shooting was one where they had 136, I believe, was the count of children that were killed by terrorists in Pakistan. But they have one picture that is prominently featured over and over again. And we have this documented in this article from Adan Salazar. Over and over again, this one child who was one of the children that we were shown as a victim at Sandy Hook. And it really does bring up the question as to what's going on here. As he points out in this article, this child, his name is Posner, they say his smiling face is prominently displayed also in a photo meme appearing on the website aworldatschool.org that lists among its supporters the globalist NGO USAID and several UN sub-branches. And his photo is also tagged with the name Huzaifa, I guess, on the Army Public School and College Boys in Peshawar. That's the location of where the shooting happened. That's on their Facebook page. I guess the question is, this is almost like the bad joke that someone had where they said a man in New York City gets mugged every minute, and then the punchline is somebody help that man. How many times does this child have to die, I guess, before we can enact gun control? We also have, along the lines of what you can do this year, there's a jury nullification program that has started in Washington, D.C. They sent me a press release showing me a series of billboards that they put up. And I think what's interesting about this is the map. And if you guys can pull this up the map right there. Those red dots there are where they have put the billboards up. And if you look at that, it's surrounding the court system and the jail system there in the New York area. And these are kiosks that they've put up about jury duty. Know your rights. Learn the truth about what overzealous prosecutors don't want you to know. What is that truth? That is one of the most effective things that I think you and I can do for our individual rights and to act collectively and individually for our collective freedoms. And that is to understand that if you're a juror, you have a very important role to play. You're not there just as a rubber stamp for the court system. That's what the judges will tell you. The lawyers, in most cases, will not stand up and challenge the judge on that. But the reality is that has been one of the linchpins of our individual freedoms. One of the key linchpins to our individual freedom is something that can't be rigged like an election. All you have to do is take a look at this and understand not only if you agree with the law, but if you agree with the way that it is being applied in this particular case. That was one of the key things that shut down alcohol prohibition. We've seen it used in drug prohibition to shut down excessive prosecutions of people, these mandatory minimums that send people to jail for nonviolent crime for decades while they let violent criminals out. We've seen jury nullification used effectively to shut down overreaching federal laws, and that really is the purpose of what jury nullification should be. So I salute these guys. I want to give them a shout-out. This is campaign that they're putting in the federal courthouse in Manhattan. They say funding has been raised for the month of January. The goal is to maintain the campaign before, during, and after a particular trial. So we're going to talk to them and try to get some more information about that. And we also will be talking about what is going on in New York as far as the work slowdown that happened this last New Year's Eve. Arrests were down 94%. And they say they're not going to arrest somebody unless they absolutely need to. Why would they do it otherwise? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
As a community moves towards despotism, respect is restricted to fewer people.
That's veteran Denver police officer Charles Jones IV smashing an unarmed suspect in the face 6 times.
Officers accused of using excessive force on a suspect and then trying to erase the evidence.
I'm observing what they're doing and they're arresting me. I don't understand what's going on.
A community rates low on an information scale when the press, radio, and other channels of communication are controlled by only a few people.
Does it raise ethical questions about the use of government money to produce stories about the government that wind up being aired with no disclosure that they were produced by the government?
How can you ask such a question?
What difference at this point does it make?
When a competent observer looks for signs of despotism in the community, he looks beyond fine words and noble phrases.
There are actions I have the legal authority to take as president that will help make our immigration system more fair and more just. Tonight, I'm announcing those actions.
What I say goes, see? I'm the law around here.
He came, he saw, he died.
Yes, in modern warfare, our military leaders are finding that words and ideas are highly effective weapons.
We just have to be repetitive about this. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
We are trained to deceive if we have to. You really don't have to trust me. You shouldn't trust me. In fact, by my actually participating in that, I will taint the news.
In communities of this kind, despotism stands a good chance.
The nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
How can this youth? Well, we're going to do everything we can to help you.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's the Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this January the 4th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. Before we go back to the police state comments, and I've got a couple of people who have called in about that, I wanted to take the Wayback Machine and take a look at what happened back in 1998 with the line item veto. And of course, this last year, we've seen Obama make comments about how he has a pen, how he has a phone, how he is going to pass climate regulation, whether the Republicans like it or not. There's not anything they can do, even though they have a majority of both the House and the Senate. He's going to do whatever he wants. We've seen him open our borders and unilaterally change immigration laws against the will of Congress. When he couldn't get that passed, he did broad, sweeping changes in our immigration and border just with his pen. And I want you to think about the difference between a veto and an executive order. But go back to June 26, 1998. This is the Washington Post talking about how the Supreme Court had just struck down the line item veto. Now, going back 2 years before that, that was Newt Gingrich's Contract with America, where he got a Republican majority for the first time in a very long time in Congress. They did that with a multi-point plan. Most of those were, I think, trivial reforms, with the exception of the line item veto and term limits. Term limits they did not enact. That would take a constitutional amendment. They didn't have the votes for that, but it didn't happen nevertheless. They did get enacted a line item veto. Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani out of New York, took them to court and got the Supreme Court to overturn the line item veto. And listen to what the Supreme Court said about that. Back in June of 1998, they say the Supreme Court yesterday struck down a broad new line item veto authority that Congress had given the president to cancel specific items in spending and tax bills. In a 6-3 decision, the court held that the line item veto law violated a constitutional requirement that legislation be passed by both houses of Congress. Oh, a constitutional requirement. And be presented in its entirety to the president for signature or veto. Now, listen to some of the quotes from the Supreme Court. They say this act gives the president the unilateral power to change the text of duly enacted statutes. Sounds kind of like Obama, doesn't it? The Supreme Court at that time also said the functional equivalent of partial repeals of acts of Congress. There is no provision, they said, in the Constitution that authorizes a president to enact or to amend or to repeal statutes. And Justice Kennedy, they say, cut to the political chase and said, failure of political will does not justify unconstitutional remedies. That's what we were told by Obama. Hey, I've tried over and over again to get Congress to do what I want, so I'm going to just go ahead and do it. But we had a Supreme Court justice who said back in 1998, failure of political will does not justify unconstitutional remedies. Remember when we had a government that really thought that the Constitution mattered? Remember when we had a government that actually thought that the Congress mattered one way or the other? And here's the really bad thing. This is not an executive order that overturns laws as they were concerned about. This was simply a veto. This is going to be a veto of spending bills. This is something that was essentially going to stop things from happening, stop the government from being modified and changed. A veto is a way to put the brakes on government, to keep it from encroaching on our rights, to keep it from growing. No, what Obama is doing is very different. He has taken it upon himself after he said over 20 times that, hey, a president doesn't have this power. And that's, of course, what the Supreme Court said nearly 20 years ago. He said many times he didn't have the power. And then he said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm going to make these radical sweeping changes. I think we need to go back and take a closer look at that. And, of course, I think we need to look at what's going on in the Republican Party with John Boehner. As we pointed out, as everybody knows, the Republicans, when they came back, they didn't forward any legislation that was going to do something to control the borders. They didn't come back with anything that was going to shut down the spending on Obamacare. Instead, they funded it for another year. Not just a continuing resolution, but an omnibus spending bill. So everybody's very upset with Boehner. We've got 60% of Republicans, according to a poll. This is a WorldNet Daily story. They say this is a survey conducted just recently, December 26th through 30th, by pollster Pat Caddell, shows that 60% of Republicans want Boehner out. I think what we need to do is we need to start calling Obamacare Boehnercare. If he's going to fund it, if he's going to be the last guy in the musical chair seat, then he needs to own this as a label. We need to call it Boehnercare. And people need to do whatever they can to support Representative Gohmert or anybody else who wants to stand up and challenge Boehner for speaker leadership here. As he said, this is just today, Representative Louis Gohmert, Republican of Texas, said today that he will challenge John Boehner as speaker in the new Congress. Just yesterday, we had Representative Ted Yoho of Florida say on Saturday that he would challenge Boehner for this. So hopefully there's going to be a change there. Boehner is typical of the kind of people that we have in leadership of both parties who essentially don't stand for anything except perpetual growth of the government. They betray the base that has voted them in, just as Obama betrayed his base on civil liberties, on torture, on war. We see that Boehner is betraying his base on the very issues that they were elected to do something about. Protesting in many cases that, well, we couldn't get it passed in the case of the House. We couldn't get it past the Senate. We couldn't get it past the President. Yet for nine times, that House under Boehner has passed the Keystone Pipeline Bill, knowing that it's not going to get past the Senate or the President. Still, they deliver on that. But they're not about to do anything about Obamacare because we have a corporate government. When you look at Jeb Bush stepping down from his board of directors, stepping down from companies that have made a fortune off of Obamacare, that ought to underscore for Republicans as well as for Democrats what Obamacare was really about. We've been saying all along here at InfoWars, Alex Jones has been saying that it was a massive transfer of wealth from the American people to corporations that were providing insurance, that were mandating that we buy insurance above the level that we need at a price that we can't afford. It was a massive transfer of wealth to corporations that was mandated by us. And that's what we see from the step down of Jeb Bush. This is a corporate-run country, and we're going to see that more in the convergence of the surveillance state as well as the police state. Now, just before we went to break, I was reading this article from The Atlantic talking about how New York City Police Department arrests have fallen here at the end of the year as part of this dispute between City Hall and the police unions. Now, here's some of the statistics. It's gone down 94%, 10,000 to 584. That's traffic violations. 10,000 traffic violations to 587 in just a couple of weeks. Low-level offenses have gone down by 94%. Parking violations down 92% from 14,500 to 1,200. What's behind that? Well, they're saying they're not going to do anything unless it's absolutely necessary. We'll be right back.
Take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to go to your calls in just a moment. I wanted to get through this article from The Atlantic talking about the 94% work slowdown from the New York Police Department. In just 1 week, tickets dropped 94%. This is traffic violations from 10,000 to 587. And, of course, they had drops in parking violations for low-level offenses of a similar nature, going down 90-some-odd percent. And, of course, the police union said, we're not going to make arrests or issue tickets, quote, unless absolutely necessary, unquote. Why are they issuing tickets? Why are they arresting people when it's not absolutely necessary? And, of course, the answer to that is that in New York, as well as in many other places, the police have been a strong-arm collection agency for the city government. That's essentially the purpose, not to protect and serve the public. Now, that's not the attitude of a lot of police officers. As a matter of fact, it was 4 years ago, about 4.5 years ago, that tapes came out. One officer, Adrian Schoolcraft, in the New York Police Department was taping other officers, taping the briefings that they had each morning. This is how the Village Voice reported those tapes. They said he recorded precinct roll calls. He recorded precinct commanders and other supervisors. He recorded street encounters. He recorded small talk and station house banter. He collected hundreds of hours of cops talking about their jobs. Now, what do these tapes reveal? They say they reveal that the precinct bosses threatened the street cops if they didn't make their quotas of arrests and stop and frisks. They also told them not to take certain robbery reports in order to manipulate crime statistics. The tapes also refer to command officers calling crime victims directly to intimidate them about their complaints. In other words, making them not file those complaints. So what came out of this massive project from one police officer? His dad was a police officer. He was very idealistic about it. He had a picture of the police operations that has been sold to the American public. His dad believed that. His dad worked that. He believed that. That's what he thought his purpose was. And yet, he saw the police using these kind of tactics, just going out and rounding up people on a Halloween. They would tell them to grab four or five people, just bring them back, don't write up any charges. We'll figure out what we're going to charge them with later. Get the first four or five people you see, bring them back to the precinct. We'll work it out later. We just got to get a lot of arrests on this particular night. Then also telling people when there were serious crimes that they didn't want to show up in the crime statistics, discouraging the people, essentially threatening them, telling them, have you ever had an arrest record? We're going to know if that's the case. Or if it's a rape, telling them that they're going to be raked over the coal personally if they report this rape, trying to do everything they can to stop violent crime from being reported, from being investigated, from being solved, because it would look bad on their crime statistics. Meanwhile, going out and doing everything they can to generate revenue. And so now we see the New York Police Department doing exactly what they said they were not doing after the Adrian Schoolcraft tapes surfaced. And you need to read this report from the Village Voice. It's about 4.5 years old. Look up Adrian Schoolcraft. There was also an audio report that was done. I think that was done by NPR, This American Life. Very revealing about what's going on, not just in the New York Police Department. That's just one of the largest instances of that. And I think the police really need to step back and think about what they need to be doing. Is that their duty? Is that what they really wanted to be as police officers? Certainly there are good police officers like Adrian Schoolcraft. There are good officers like Frank Serpico, who spoke out against corruption in the New York Police Department. And he calls other officers like Adrian Schoolcraft, he calls them lamplighters of liberty, because they are lighting the path, showing these dark practices, exposing them for what they are. That's a very important thing. Now, there was one other document that came out on New Year's Eve, and that was a list of demands that was dropped out as pamphlets in New York City on New Year's Eve, saying what they wanted to see happen in terms of the police department, in terms of the excessive use of force, in terms of oversight. And I think it's very important that we have an end game, that we have some kind of goal of what we would like to see happen with reform. I think this is a very important document. It doesn't just fall back on the narrative that we've been sold by the government and by the mainstream media that this is purely racism. No, it's not racism. This is happening to everyone. And of course, black people have been feeling this for a very long time as part of their Broken Windows program, saying that they needed to ride really hard on the poor neighborhoods because that was where crime was going to come from. So that's been a lot of the focus that they put that has resulted in those poor areas being disproportionately brutalized by the police. But this is something that's happening everywhere. And I think there need to be some review of this. We need to have some reforms. And there was an article up on Infowars.com this weekend. Anti-police protesters release a list of demands. And if you go to the bottom of that article, actually, it's a link from the Daily Caller. If you go to the bottom of the Daily Caller, you can actually see the document that they circulated out. And they have demands like an independent all-elective civilian complaint review board, an independent investigative body that can look at what's going on independent of the court system, because people need to see transparency. They've lost trust in not only the police departments, but they've lost trust in the Justice Department. And that is something that is very dangerous. They want to see full-time prosecutors and judges that deal solely with the police. They want to see every officer that's accused of misconduct be suspended immediately without pay. They want to see that any officer that's found guilty would be imprisoned. We see them let off. And there's one case that just came out of Virginia, a police officer sexually assaulting and sodomizing a 7-year-old child, given 30 days. In the same area, they had someone else do the same crime. He got 66 years, and that was justice. To give somebody 30 days because they're a police officer, that's not justice. So we can go down this list. There's a lot of things here. Body cameras. If you've got a, you should have body cameras on everything. If that's not turned on, then we're going to assume that you're trying to hide something that you're guilty. A decent law-abiding police officers will be able to speak freely about any and all corruption and abuse committed by the department. A lot of these reforms that they're demanding are things that people have been talking about throughout the country. When we talked to Matt Shea out in Spokane, he was saying that we needed to have civilian oversight of the training programs that they're being fed, because we've got the Southern Poverty Law Center going into the police departments and giving them misinformation, telling them that people who support the Constitution are their enemies, that they're a threat to them. We need to know if our police locally are being fed that by the Southern Poverty Law Center or by the federal government in some way. We need to understand what kind of equipment they have. There needs to be some kind of civilian oversight, some kind of external oversight. People need to be able to trust the police, and I think there are honest police out there who want this as well. Let's go to some of your calls here. Mark in Texas, you've been on hold. I wanted to talk about the police state. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, David. Hi. David, a couple of things, and I'm speaking as an ex-law enforcement officer who's actually both in New York and in Texas. Texas, actually, I work corrections. But anyway, I think that one of the things we got to do is take away the idea that an officer 24 hours and take off his pay. That's the first thing we should do. Take away the 24-hour peace officer business, because that's a violation of the Constitution.
Hang on. I really want to hear what you've got to say. We got to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. We got a police officer who wants to talk about his idea of reform. Stay with us.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. We're going to go back to our callers in just a moment. We're going to continue with Mark in Texas, a former police officer from New York as well as in Texas. I want to get his comments on what he thinks should be done in terms of reform of the police. Before we do, I want to let you know that this hour of the Alex Jones Show is brought to you by the products that we sell at InfoWarsLife.com. And right now we have a special pack. We call it the Resolution Pack in terms of the new year, a way to cleanse your body, a way to give it nutrients if you've got some New Year's resolutions about how you want to get healthier this year. We have three different components to it. We have a cleanse your body with a flush out toxins with OxyPower. That's one of those. You can also boost your body with Secret 12 B12 formulation. And the third element of this resolution pack is Super Male or Super Female Vitality. Right now, you can get that for 48% off the original retail price at InfoWarsLife.com, or you can call 888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Now, Mark, thank you for holding through the break. You said you were a police officer in both New York as well as Texas. Give us your breakdown as to what needs to be done to reform the practices that we see coming out of the police, because from many people's perspective, we see increasingly that there's a different kind of agenda that's being fed from the federal government in terms of the way the police perceive the public, the way they interact with the public. And there's a lot of concern from the public and in some of these cases where it looks like there was excessive use of force. There's a lot of concern that it wasn't an honest judicial process reviewing that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to just make one correction. In Texas, I was a corrections officer. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
In New York, I was a police officer. But it's, you know, it's still law enforcement. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And first thing I would do as far as making, you know, as reforms is the first thing I would do is take away any off-duty authority an officer has. Now, in that's one thing. In Texas, a correctional officer is not a peace officer off-duty, and I think that's good, and I think it should be the same thing with the regular police. Unlike New York, where you've got a lot of different kind of peace officer authorities there, and you have in New York City, you have an army of over 50,000 officers when you consider. And that is
yeah, it's amazing when you look at when they had 94% work slowdown, they were giving 10,000 tickets a week, and that dropped down to 587. I guess the question is, when they say they're not going to do anything, they're not going to arrest people unless it's absolutely necessary, I guess the question mark is, why were they arresting people when it wasn't absolutely necessary?
Well, I think one of the things we also got to ask ourselves is, why do you have such a large army of cops in places like New York and mostly other northeastern and some western cities when people are denied their Second Amendment rights and
yes.
so scared that they put up with that kind of stuff? When you have that large of a police force, you're going to have your freedoms restricted, plain and simple. It just goes hand in hand. And you've got a lot of corruption. Adrian Schoolcraft, by the way, I read about him, and it's a shame. It's a shame how this man is treated, and nobody even knows who he is.
Yeah,
call
exactly.
A regular.
Yeah, I would love for him to come on the show. It's open invitation. It's very difficult to try to find him. We tried to find him for a very long time. What they did to him, I mean, of course, Serpico got shot. They pulled back in a drug raid, and he was shot. They didn't protect him. They didn't even call for an ambulance in that particular case. For Adrian Schoolcraft, the officer who was recording this, they arrested it. I think it was the second in command, wasn't it, Mark, of the New York Police Department, went to his house and they took him away and put him in an insane asylum. His father, who was a police officer, found the recording because he had a recording on him. And you can hear the recording when they find the tape recorder that was personally on Adrian Schoolcraft. But there was another recorder that was stuck up on the shelf behind some books that they didn't find. And that's when his father found that. I think that helped him to he knew that he had been taken to an insane asylum, but he didn't know which one. So you have a couple of cops who try to shine some light on some bad practices. One of them is shot. Another one is put into an insane asylum. It's a shame, as you said, that people don't know his name, that it's not a household word.
I know. Not many people know who Serpico is anymore either. I wish you'd have him back on your show.
That's
matter
true.
Of fact, you know? I think the guy, that was a real hero. Because he took on an establishment, he really put his life on the line. Not that he put his life on the line against criminals, but against his fellow officers.
Yes.
And that is, you know, that's the problem. I mean, they basically, one thing I would have is a special prosecutor for any kind of police, any kind of controversial police, even if it's not misconduct, anything controversial should be a special prosecutor, definitely a shooting.
I agree with that. And that was essentially, that was the essence of this flyer that was put out on New Year's Eve. They were demanding a civilian complaint review board and demanding that there be some kind of separate oversight of any kind of police allegations. We talked to others who have said that we ought to have an oversight of their training, oversight of their equipment. I think it's very important for people to get their trust back in the police and for us to have a real, honest, independent evaluation when there are charges of police misconduct.
The problem is you used to have civilian review board in New York, and the unions fought it so bitterly they got rid of it. And that's another thing I wanted to mm-hmm. say about unions. I'm all for unions. But I don't think police should have unions, period.
Yes.
Because unions and police work, they just condone criminal activity, and they push for more powers for police, and they hate the Second Amendment. I'll tell you something. The PBA in New York, they hate the Second Amendment. All the various police unions in New York hate the Second Amendment. They don't like to have armed citizens because, very simple, it takes away their authority, and they can't demand as many officers. They can't demand as high salaries. Good benefits,
yes,
and whatever else they demand.
I think it was absolutely, absolutely atrocious in the shooting that happened in New York City just before the Eric Garner verdict was released from the grand jury. there was, and I'm sure you remember this, a gentleman named, his last name was Gurley. He and his girlfriend were tired of waiting for the elevator that wasn't coming, so they stepped in the stairwell, and there were two officers that were doing up and down patrols of the stairwell and the projects there. And even though he wasn't doing anything suspicious, even though he wasn't armed, one of those officers had his gun drawn and shot the man in the chest. And then here's where the police union comes in. While the man is dying there on the floor, bleeding out, the police officer spends, I think it was about 10 minutes, on the phone with the police union, not calling for a medical help, not doing anything to assist the man to try to stop the bleeding, but calling the police union. I think that says so much about that. Thank you so much, Mark in Texas. Let's give some other people a chance to comment on this. Let's go to Andrew in Pennsylvania. Andrew?
Since Alex said that he wanted to hear callers talk about predictions for 2015, two whistleblowers that have said some pretty bold things about 2015, Karen Hughes, who was on InfoWars before, has talked about how they are close to releasing gold-backed currency, and word on the street is the BRICS Nation and also Benjamin Fulford's Dragon Society are in on this. And also 2016 presidential candidate Andrew Bashago, who's a whistleblower, he's said that in his experience as part of government time travel technology, they found that in 2015 it would be revealed that many members of Congress are CIA operatives. Any comments?
Well, I think that the CIA and the Federal Reserve run our government. I think that's pretty clear. If you look at the redacted silly report from the Senate, they essentially blamed everything on the CIA. And then, of course, nothing is going to be done about it. And the CIA can tell the Senate what they're going to do. The CIA can assassinate whoever they want. They put together a disposition matrix. That's what they called it, a disposition matrix. That's their assassination hit list. And, of course, that was Brennan, who's now the CIA director. He ran that. He ran the torture program. Nothing they do can be used against them. They are above the law, just like the Federal Reserve. We can't audit the CIA. We can't audit the Federal Reserve. So, yeah, they're above the law. And I think one of the important things that really scares me in terms of looking at what's coming up in 2015 financially. Of course, we know that the Federal Reserve has been at the center of economic disaster and collapse many times throughout its 101 years of history, starting wars. And we now see that the Congress just gave insurance protection to derivatives again. That was taken away after the implosion of 2008. It was prohibited after the crash in 1929. They enacted the Glass-Steagall Act. That was taken away under Clinton. And then everything was pumped and dumped. And now it looks like they're in the pumping stage again, having insured all their derivatives. And these derivatives are orders of magnitude larger than what we saw with the mortgage bailouts. We're going to be right back with more of your calls right after the break. Thank you so much, Andrew in Pennsylvania.
The march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We're going to go right back to your calls here in just a moment. One of the things that I think is going to be coming up, though, in 2015 is the FCC weighing in on net neutrality. They're saying that's going to happen in February. I think just like the GMO issue, where they've got people going back and forth about whether or not we should have mandatory or voluntary labeling, the real issue with GMO is whether we're going to have GMO or not. Can we stop the production of GMO? Can we stop the cross-pollinization of GMO onto organic fields or heritage vegetation? I think the real issue here with the FCC is not even so much about net neutrality, but about the fact that the FCC is going to assert its supervision of the internet, that it's going to take it within its jurisdiction. We haven't had an agency that's had oversight and control of the internet prior to this. And that's what this is all about. The FCC has been on both sides of net neutrality. They don't really care at this point. Once they get control of the internet, once they establish that they are going to be the bureaucracy that's going to control this, that's when it's going to get really bad. It's going to be another angle where they're going to come after our free speech. And, of course, the internet has been a vital part of that. Going back to June of this year, and a story from AP, when they were talking about the Stingray program, this program that allows the police to listen to cell phones illegally without a search warrant, and that is illegal if you don't get a search warrant. But that program was something that they put together with Harris Corporation, a semiconductor corporation. And as part of that agreement, they say there was a secrecy element built into the authorization agreement that they had with the FCC. And that goes back to 2011. So now we see these surveillance, the surveillance data that they collect through the Stingray program. If a judge wants to look at those records, they're told they can't see them because they have a non-disclosure agreement with a corporation that supersedes what that judge wants. It supersedes the law. It supersedes the Constitution. In one particular instance this year, a judge said, "You don't have a non-disclosure agreement with me. Produce those records." At that point, law enforcement backed out and dropped the case rather than produce the records. And of course, the FBI and many state governments are telling all the law enforcement agencies that if anybody wants a FOIA request or a court request, that they're not to comply. They are to notify the FBI immediately in writing and by phone so the FBI can stop that. And they have come out with U.S. Marshals to confiscate records rather than have them turned over in court proceedings or in Freedom of Information Request Acts. That is the danger of this. That is the culmination, the joining of the surveillance state and the police state. It's a joining of our bureaucracies, the federal bureaucracy of investigation, the FBI, working with the FCC, working with a corporation in a way that is, they believe, is transcendent to our Constitution, to our law. We're going to see that happen this year, I think, also in these massive trade agreements, as I mentioned earlier in the program. Let's go to Chris in Indiana. Chris, you had some scenarios for 2015. Go ahead.
Hey, David. Yeah, I agree. Ban GMO, ban surveillance state, and ban boner care.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we need to call it boner care or boner care. We sure do.
Boner care is yeah. what I like better. Speaking of what's coming up in 2015, I really, in all seriousness, have a couple of really good points here, in my opinion. January 20th, Tuesday night, it's going to be the State of the Union. I think, just like these two police officers, a lot of the police officers in New York, just like last weekend for Ramos, this weekend, Officer Liu, a lot of the police officers turned their back to de Blasio, and I believe that it would be a real big-time thing if the Tea Party Republicans and whoever else wants to get involved with it stand up and turn their back to Obama, Biden, and Boner as yes. the whole for the whole speech.
Yes.
Think
oh,
about
that'd be great.
Awkward that would be for Obama to talk while those brave people did that.
That would be great, but you know, it's kind of a good old boys club. They don't rock the boat too much. Remember when Joe Wilson, a few years ago, shouted out, "You lie," when Obama made some statement about Obamacare, and it turned out that he was right. He was eventually vindicated in that, but he basically had to step down, step back and walk those comments back. The leadership of the Republican Party, which is the problem, as you pointed out, basically leaned on Joe Wilson to take that back. So, you know, that's these guys toe the line or they get shut out completely, and that's a lot of what people are angry about with Boehner. The fact that he's removed people who are conservatives, who are free market, who want less government, he's removed them from positions within committees, which is where you really get things done. Thank you so much. Let's move on to Sherry in Texas. Sherry, you want to talk about GMOs?
Yes, thank you. I do. Forcing GMOs and patents on other countries is so egregious in the surveillance and everything. Other countries aren't going to go for that. I agree with those that say that, you know, we're going to have trouble with our internet. Other countries don't want to expose their citizens to dangers of GMOs. They cherish their tradition. They like security for their citizens. And they cherish a more traditional way of life that they're used to. Mm-hmm. They don't want to gamble with our lives for profit like we do. They don't want our brand of capitalism, I don't think.
Well, you know, what's happening in America is that you've got this regulatory agency, the FDA, that is essentially captured by Monsanto and these corporations and will do whatever they want to in this country. And the way they're going to try to enforce this in many parts of the world is through these trade agreements. GMOs are a large part of it, just like the control of the internet. They couldn't get CISPA, SOPA, ACTA, PIPA through. They're going to try to push those through with these trade agreements, and GMOs are one of the things that they're going to try to push through.
Work. People have talked about the internet being interfered with, and in order to prevent us from imposing our way of life on other citizens, these countries are going to have to do something to our internet because this affects their people, their tradition, when I heard something about the Danish the other day about how they Well, I can't remember. I wish I could recall what it was, but it was like, why don't we have that here? Why aren't we more concerned about our citizens here? If we're not willing to change our or to make a difference and change the laws and get them to see how important it is to people that we have a better quality way of life, then our internet, I'm afraid, will suffer, because how else can they stop us? And I know there's the people of Europe are not going to want this to be their way of life.
Well, I think it's that's part of the unrest that we see in the future here. It's because there's a fight going on about who's going to control the internet, who's essentially going to control information. It looks like the U.S. is trying to do everything they can to assert control, whether it's through trade agreements or legislation or giving control of the internet through to the FCC. They're also trying to control everything about our food supply. And we have to understand that these corporations that basically own our politicians in Washington want to own and control everything. And they have no respect for our lives either. At least you can say that about Vladimir Putin. He looks at his focus is on natural resources. He sees that as his power base. I mean, he's a power-hungry individual. I wouldn't want to live under a country that he ruled. But nevertheless, he sees his natural resources as the basis of his power. And part of that are the people in his country. It's not just the oil resources. It's the human resources. And he's trying to protect that. Our elites in this country look at the American people as a possible threat to them. The future does not need us, according to our elites. And that's really where the fight is. Thank you. Let's move on. Try to get the rest of the callers here. Let's go to Karen in Colorado. Karen, go ahead.
Hi. This is a little bit of a complicated thing to describe on a phone call like this. But what I would like to see us do is expand our ability to act. The people of America, the hearts and souls of all of us are ready. We have been trained by you. We've listened to you guys. And I've been listening for years, and I feel grounded, okay?
That's the problem. People who are already awake feel frustrated because now they want to take action. And I think one of the best actions that you can do is to still build a base, a larger base of people who understand what's really going on. That's the way we shut down the war in Syria. We would have gone to war with Syria in 2013 if it hadn't been for the free press, if it hadn't been for the free internet. We stood up against that narrative. We pointed out where they were lying to people so we didn't get fooled again like we did back when we went to war with Iraq the two times or whatever. I mean, there's been times when the internet was not and free press was not there. And so the mainstream media and government essentially put forward a fake narrative about weapons of mass destruction or babies being removed from incubators. They got away with it. They didn't get away with it in 2013. So it's a very important thing to educate people and to show them how this whole sham works. I think that's something that you can be proud of. It's a good work that you can do. And certainly you can educate people about what their rights are as jurors. You can educate them about the fully informed jury amendment. And that's the feature group. You can take a look at that and understand exactly what's going on as a juror. That's a very important thing that just one individual can do. One person on a group of 12 can stop an injustice from being done to his fellow citizens. And that's the essential purpose of the juries to start with, is to watch each other's backs, to guard against tyranny. Sorry I couldn't get to the rest of the callers today. That's it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 Central with Alex Jones. Join us then.